Migs Cast, and I am Steve Migs, and I am here with the man about town, the Reverend Enfuego.
Yes!
That's right. And Glenn Cannon.
Why?
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 I don't know. I don't know why. Every morning I ask that same question.
I'm 2 weeks Reaper free. Yeah!
Yes, you're alive!
Yeah,
he's
that's
alive.
Cool.
Someone asked me, like, how you doing? I was like, man, I'm happy to be above ground.
Yeah.
And actually said that to
I'm not dead yet.
And you literally are above ground.
I'm happy to be above ground, man. Yeah.
We got so much to talk about. Some fun stuff going on in the world of Bruiser Brody, of course. That's
oh my
very
gosh,
exciting.
Yeah.
Also some drama in the world of Bruiser Brody. I don't know if you saw the Facebook.
No.
Oh, no.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Was it the guy that was jealous of the band that was just an a-hole and put
yes.
that snipey comment? Yeah.
Ooh, yes.
Travis, I think, shot him down.
Yeah.
Right away, Travis just replied.
Let's just jump right into that right off the get-go.
Yeah.
So, like, this has been something that has always been, like, just a giant thorn in my ass ever since I've been in radio and been playing music. And I've always been very, like, back in the Peter Parker days and whatever I've done, I've always tried to find that happy medium of sharing my personal life, which is what we're supposed to do on our jobs. And a big part of my life is playing music and playing in a band. But also not being someone that's just using the radio as a chance for free publicity for my band, because I know that there's bitter a-holes out there that don't understand that it's no different than anything. If you're excited about something, you're going to talk about it. And I definitely talk about other local bands way more than I ever would talk about a band that I'm a part of.
I just want to say something too. Very quick. I don't want to interject while you're mid-speech, but I want to throw this out there. The reason people really like Bruiser Brody is because, Rev, I'm sorry, the band is f***ing good.
God damn it.
Right.
I'm sorry.
It's fine.
And it has nothing to do with people being excited about the music and excited about the band and turned on. Has nothing to do with what Steve does for a living,
100%.
Or the bands that any of us have previously been in. It helps. People are excited because they know our names.
Sure.
Because we worked very hard to build our names as musicians in this community. But the reason people are excited about Bruiser Brody is because it's good.
Right.
Sorry, Steve.
No,
just want to throw that out there.
I could promote whatever I want. If it's not good, people aren't going to attend it. People aren't going to buy into it. We're not going to have
people going to openly make fun of it. You know,
right?
Yeah.
But I've dealt with this forever. There's always those people out there that are not that don't understand that. What is it? The high tide causes all the boats to rise. You know what I mean? Like in the sense that if someone talks about something, it's good for everybody. It's good for the music scene. If I'm preaching the good word about a local band, that's good because someone might go see that local band and then like another local band. And it's a community. That's what I've always prided myself as being a part of this music community. And when you have people like this certain person, it's taking like 10 steps back for anyone in this music community. You just sound like this bitter, never made it musician that is upset with anyone else's success.
You remember me talking about the guy that went on Craigslist
yes.
and wrote up, I mean, it was 7 paragraphs of just seething hatred
yeah.
For windowpane.
And I keep waiting. I was waiting for this day. I knew it was going to happen at some point.
I didn't think it would.
I really didn't
think it would. Man.
I knew at some point someone's going to try and, however, take a shot, whether it be because of me, because of other members of our band, because of all of us have had some kind of profile in this town for music-related stuff. So
for some time, too.
So you're always going to get that guy that never made it. And is bitter about it and just wants to take it out. And instead of maybe looking at himself and like, hey, maybe if I wasn't such a bitter a-hole, I might have had some decent success. But no, I'm just going to use this as a reason to say, oh, I never made it because I wasn't afforded these opportunities. And maybe I'm reading into it too much with this guy.
Yeah, but
that's the vibe I get from this guy.
Come meet us. Chances are we'll buy you a drink and chat us up. And the next thing you know, we're probably doing a show together. That's another approach.
Right.
I don't know. That's how I've made my way through life is just by being polite and kind to people.
And that's part of what I was going to write him back. I had like, there was the first side of me was just like, hey, continue to be bitter. I'm not going to waste my time with you. And then the other side was like, how about you just come out to a show and make your opinion based on seeing us or hearing us? And in fact, you know what? First round of drinks is on me. I was even going down that road. And then finally I hit this point where I'm like, I'm not replying at all.
Oh, I did what I normally do. I looked him up to see. Luckily, I'm not friends with him or anything like that.
I Facebook stalked him.
But I looked him up and I looked him up to see if I needed to delete, unfollow, block.
Because
I don't even play that. I don't even get into the whole, hey, man, you don't even know.
Yep.
Delete, unfollow, block.
Yep.
problem solved.
Yep, out of my life. Yeah. I just closed that door.
Yeah, you're gone, dude.
So
you're like a dangerous mole. I'll just have you removed.
So to put it in perspective, of course, we've been pushing and hoping that people would help pre-order our record, Everyone's Dead, which is going to be coming out in October. So we did a Kickstarter, and it still blows my mind. We're over $5,200 of our $2,500 goal.
Yeah,
Thank you, everyone, you've done it.
Congratulations.
Yes. Yeah.
In fact, we've also sold out now of our acoustic live performances because another person put down a G.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing.
I am blown away by that. That is so beyond humbling and so cool. So, you know, you're riding the high of
all
this.
Means we have to go to my parents' house three times.
Yes. And I'm bringing the gimp mask. I told them I would. So all this is going really well, and you know, people are commenting, I pre-ordered mine. I'm like, that's so freaking awesome, and I'm doing this and that.
Love and enthusiasm, and yeah,
and then there's that
great
one, the negative Nancy, and I won't even say the guy's name, and I'm not looking for this to turn into, like, you know, let's attack this guy.
Don't turn it into a witch hunt, guys.
Yeah, please don't go on fate. Let's not give this guy any more life than he's already received. That's why I didn't comment on it.
Travis set him straight.
Travis said his piece. The guy commented after that and then edited his comment, which I thought was really funny. I want to talk about that for a second.
Oh, I didn't see any of that. Last I saw was Travis's reply. Okay, feed me, Seymour.
All right, so, please, don't let's not cause a war with this guy. This guy is a person that lives off of negative energy.
He's already sad and lonely enough.
You give him that negative energy, he feels like he's succeeded. That's my view on trolls.
He's masturbating using his own tears for lubricant.
Oh, absolutely. My. Which is not bad.
Do you have to edit that, Rev?
No, just keep moving. Don't dwell, sir.
So this guy writes, based on our Kickstarter post, love it. A bunch of local musicians who have hit the ceiling make a quote-unquote all-star band and have the drummer who happens to be a DJ at KISW? Question mark. Quick aside, I'm not a DJ. I don't jockey any records.
DJ. I'm not a DJ?
I'm a personality.
Steve
I'm talent.
Miggs.
Just kidding. He goes, what do your drummers in your main projects think? Because nobody in a band does other stuff with other bands. Like, I immediately think of, like, Jaundice from 10 Miles Wide, who's got his own solo stuff that he does with Drew, the drummer of the Dirty Dirty. I don't think people in the Dirty Dirty are upset at Drew for doing stuff with Jaundice. I don't think Will Andrews is upset at Jaundice for doing stuff with Drew.
I read that.
So stupid.
I read that as a cut. Like, what are your real drummers think about the fact that you have radio guy as a drummer?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, well, my drummer thinks he's a great drummer. My guitarist thinks Steve's a great drummer.
Right.
We've made Steven Adler comparisons and talked about how creative he was in the songwriting process. And actually, Steve's drumming saved a couple songs that were pretty much going to be dead. What he did on drums is what brought him to life. So I'll tell you what my drummer thinks. My drummer thinks he's freaking awesome.
Right.
Both my old drummer and my new drummer.
Right. We're all friends.
Yeah.
Like, we geek out about drum stuff together.
You guys
and this guy's a drummer.
You can't be friends with other drummers. This is not something that happens.
And it's funny because this guy is a drummer.
He's a drummer.
So I thought that was also funny. It's like nice brotherhood of drummers.
Like,
there,
he was taking a swipe. Like, that guy's not a drummer. He's a radio personality.
Right.
And I'm like, what?
Because I haven't been playing drums my entire life.
Right.
And I haven't played in the local music.
About you.
I've had more success in local bands than this guy. I don't even know who these bands are that he's been in. You know, I've busted my ass and played a bunch of shows. I don't need to justify it.
Okay.
But I thought it was funny. And also then the shot of, like, and I also saw the shot of these local musicians who've
hit the ceiling.
Because, like, you know,
I have hit the ceiling, dude. I'm still trying to burrow through it. I mean, we can talk about this openly.
Like, Windowpane's not about to go on tour with a really cool national touring band. That you've hit the ceiling. That wouldn't happen.
Well, I would say the struggle is real, but, you know, he can say that.
Man.
He can say that, and I'll be like, yeah, maybe I have, dude, but I love what I'm doing. I've got fans that love what we do, and I'm really happy to be able to play music for them.
But where is the ceiling when it comes to art? Not to sound like a hippy dippy dude, but I'm a hippy dippy dude, and, like, there is no ceiling with art.
Yeah.
There's certain levels of success, sure, but
there's,
like,
variations on poverty.
That's true. There's definitely no basement.
Are you sure?
It could keep getting lower.
It's kind of dark and dank down there.
I was going to say, man, I think window pane was in the basement pretty much all of winter.
But you got out of it, man.
Yeah.
He takes a shot at the musicians in the band. He takes a shot at me.
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious this guy is very bitter. I don't know if jealousy, he's jealous of us, but he's definitely bitter. He doesn't, it got under my skin, but I'm like, you know what? Not worth even replying.
Hey, man, you know what? I'm bitter, but I'm not going to take it out on a total stranger who's having an element of success.
And quite possibly, if you came to one of our shows, if you met the members of the band, you might I know this sounds crazy, like our company and maybe want to hang out with us and have a good time with us. And like you said, maybe we play shows together with whatever band that you're in.
Yeah. We could even have souls.
But God bless Travis, our front man, because Travis pulls no punches. And that's what I love about Travis. And he just decides to comment on it. And once I saw Travis replied, I was like, anything I was going to say is probably not going to be nearly as awesome as Travis. And it wasn't, because he says, you know, what do your drummers in your main projects think? Like your drummers in, and all the other bands are going to be like, well, how dare you do a band with another guy who was the reason why that band even exists? Like, you and me are the reason why Bruiser Brody even started. It's not like as if...
Yeah, dude, again, this guy probably doesn't listen to our show.
Of course not.
This started with two friends saying,
hey, maybe we should do something.
Yeah, we should really do
Wouldn't
more.
Wouldn't it be cool?
It would be great to do more because I love playing music with you. Gosh, that was how this started.
Right, and it's a band that doesn't take away from the quote-unquote real bands.
Yeah. What does this guy think? Like, I don't understand what he thinks transpired beyond Steve and I saying, man, I love playing music with you. Why don't we do it more?
Like, I'm picturing he thinks, like, you guys put together this band. You're like, well, we need to, like, get past that ceiling. How can we do it? You know... there's a guy on KISW that kind of plays drums. I bet if we ask him to be the drummer, we'll break through that ceiling.
And I think, I hate to say it, but I think that's part of that thinking. Like, you know, it's the whole, I don't even want to go down that rabbit hole. I'm going to, because it's chapters of my life that I've been in where I'm like, God, what do I got to do to get a gig at the Croc? What do I got to do to get a gig at the Sit and Spin? What do I got to do? And the hell that we went through playing Wednesdays and Thursdays in tiny little Zach's Fifth Avenue with no stage playing on the floor. You know, and we did that for
Uncle Rocky
for years.
Play there,
for years. And so it's one of those things, like, I just picture that whole, like, well, if we get the DJ from KSW in the band and this guy, I guarantee they'll at least give us a Friday at the Croc.
No, it doesn't
work
that way.
And I think where he's coming from is that bitter and that dark of a place. And truly what it is here's a bunch of guys that have worked their nuts off in this scene. That's why we have names and reputations where people will pick up the phone when we call. And it wasn't always like that. And the other thing is, hey man, you want to jam?
Right.
Oh, and then we're good. Yeah. Damn, it's good. Well, let's maybe try it in front of people.
Right. We're like, let's jam. Let's do this recording. Let's play this one show. And then after we finish, we're like, we should keep doing this. This is actually a lot of fun.
Well, listen to the record. And that record was cut. We were in the studio for a total of 4 days.
Yeah, I know. That's the insane part about
it. We did that record in 4 days. So don't come at me like there's no talent in this band. And by the way, bass and drums were cut live. There was no, oh, let's clean this up, let's punch that track, let's edit this. Bass and drums on our album were cut live. Jeff and Steve played and said, you think that was it?
Sure.
This record was done in 4 days.
Yeah.
So honestly, blow me.
So Travis replies, and in a couple more sentences, but basically does say, blow me. He says, when in regards to the drummers, he goes, they love and support it because we're all professionals and love and support each other. They're not, this is my favorite line, they're not crybaby sissies that dwell on stupid S like that. Nobody can sense sarcasm like me, fella, which I thought was great. So he replies, well, he said the guy's name, and I'm not giving that guy his
name. Oh, okay, yeah.
And he goes, it wasn't really a hard try at sarcasm. I can be better than that. Feels like a straight free publicity stunt, which I thought was really funny. It's like, I don't
publicity stunt.
Where's the stunt? A bunch of struggling musicians that just want to get together and make loud music.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
And what's the publicity?
What have we gotten? Like we've spent our own money. I don't understand any of that.
It's probably going
to
make that guy even madder. What have we obtained that we didn't already have? Okay. I don't want to break that guy's heart.
Right.
But really, you know, like, other than getting to jam together, which has been really fun, and create music, which has been really fun, and then generate fans for that music, really, none of our lives, the purpose behind, you know what I mean? Like, we were already in bands, happy, doing, you know what I mean? Like, publicity stunt.
And I think it's like, oh, well, he used the radio to get this free press for the band. And it's like, that does nothing. Look, here's a massive shock to you. From doing this job for a long time, I have seen no positive in the sense of promoting the, like, no one's getting signed because I talk about it on the radio. Maybe a couple people might come to the show, but they're not going to come to another show if we're not good. And they keep coming back to shows. And that's because we've put out something really fun.
We put on amazing shows.
Really proud of our music. Yeah. You never know what you're going to walk into. One person even said we're very dangerous on stage, and because actually guys are getting their heads stepped on.
We're proud of that too. I only stepped on Travis's head once.
Here's the part that cracks me up about this, because I saw this guy, his comment, right? And then the next morning, No one responded. Travis didn't. I didn't. Like, we just, whatever, man. Just say your piece. But there was more to this comment. If you go on the Facebook, you'll see it. But there was more to it originally. Originally, after that publicity stunt line, he goes, I'll come see you at a show and eat crow if you guys are real. He deleted that part, which I find really interesting.
It makes me wonder if he went out and found some footage and went, oh, God, they're ripping good.
Right. Because part of me is like, oh, please, we'll put you on. I almost wrote, we'll put you on the guest list.
Put you on the list, man.
Yeah. He was like, can you guys have any events coming up that I can share with this person on their post? I'm not friends with them or anything, but you can still post on their page.
I just thought that was funny that, like, I was like, what happened? Like, he woke up the next morning. Again, a negative person that wants to feed off of negative energy. So he was really probably disappointed that nobody commented on his dick remark.
Yeah. I kind of want to just like tag him in a post. Have you heard of this band? They're really good. And they got a Kickstarter going on.
Well, what I love is that anyone who comments on that.
We can find a video for Don't Go There out there on the web. Is that our only video?
No, we have video. We have the music video that Wyatt put together for Don't Go There. Yeah. Then we also have the music video based off of a live performance that I tossed together for my favorite song off of our record.
Right Before My Eyes?
Yeah, Right Before My Eyes. Yep.
Have I seen that?
I'm positive you have.
Okay.
It features Keith on bass from that show.
That's right. Yeah. I have seen that. And then, honestly, man, the
But then there's also the live
the
footage.
The Top Left TV and the Hemp Films. That Crocodile set was... This is good.
Yeah, that blew a lot of
people away.
People
were like, oh my effing God. And that was a Wednesday night, and the place was packed. And
it was so much fun.
But it was great, man.
But, so like, what I love about it is no one's commenting on this guy's stuff, but people are still commenting on that post because they're excited about the Kickstarter. So originally I was like, man, do I even want this negativity to live there? Should we just delete it? Like, it's not even worth it. But I'm like, I love that people are commenting. Nobody's acknowledging
this guy.
They're
just going right around him.
But he's getting the notifications because he commented on that post. So he has to constantly get notifications from people saying good stuff about our band, which hilarious.
Somebody may have just commented right now saying,
I wonder who that might be.
Super stoked about this album. You guys kick so much ass live. Woo!
Oh, that's so great, Rev. I love you. So I just was like, I went from immediately angry. Because I was like, well, he's taking a shot at all of us in this really passive aggressive way.
Oh, so bad.
And then I was just like, I got a good laugh out of Travis's comment because he's absolutely right. Yeah. Like, you know, it's true. We're not crybaby sissies. and the guy's just adult. I even made it a point to like Facebook stalk him.
Me too.
And apparently he's had issues. He's that guy that bitches about the scene a lot. Like, he's even taken, like, a little bit of a shot at your band in one of his posts.
Oh, I never saw that, but I'm not even slightly surprised.
It was like, he was listening, he goes, what a hellish day, KSW live day, rainstone on the way in, window pane on the way home. And it's like, so you are obviously bitter about bands that are successful.
Local bands
that are successful.
If you hate us, why are you listening, man?
They hate us because they ain't us.
If you don't want me, why are you staring at my penis?
Because it's so big and it's in the way.
You can just go ahead and kiss it, buddy. It's cool. That's cool.
It is what
whatever,
it is.
Whatever, man.
But man, oh man, I got a good chuckle out of that. As the day went on, my anger went to complete. This is funny.
See, Travis sent me a text with a screenshot of the initial exchange.
Yep.
And I just replied, well played, sir. Ha ha. And that was all the thought I gave to it. Except... I looked at the guy's name, went, and I'm like, oh, I don't have to block him or unfriend him because we're not friends, and cool.
Yeah, same here.
You know, okay. I just got on with my day, dude. I didn't even, I'm dealing with so many other, like.
Like nearly dying.
Yeah, right?
Well, no, it's just, you know, I've got, like, real things to deal with. Yep. Like, man, did the phone bill get paid, or do you think that's a blister? You know?
I don't give that guy any time.
What is that itchy feeling?
Yeah, does this look infected?
Like, I just wonder, like, what's going on in somebody's head that's, like, their day. Like,
he's wrapped up in all of it is the fact that, I'm not where I want to be.
He doesn't like Pearl Jam either, I learned. So.
He's
dead to me.
Let me tell you something, man. I'm not where I want to be either. And things have been really, you know, it's one of those, it's easy for you to say, and I know people that you always say that, well, it's easy for you to say, you know, man, problems and pain are relative. Multi-millionaire with a Learjet behind his house might be having a really dark time of things.
His wife might be battling cancer.
Yeah, brother.
You don't know.
I've actually been really kind of happy in a very uplifted and good mood, but that's been a lot of just changes I'm trying to make in my life to eliminate stress and eliminate negativity, man. But things have been really hard, and I'm at a major crossroads in my life, and a lot of things are changing, and a lot of things are going to be coming to an end. And, you know, dude, nobody's where they want to be. Nobody is.
Yep.
You know, it's like, I finally made it, and I'm 63, and I've got bad knees. Crap. Now right. I can't walk upstairs. I mean, bro.
And I'd be dead in 10 years.
Yeah, it's yeah. very, trust me, it's very easy to be bitter, but the truth about getting to B is all you can see is that you're not at C, and then you get to C, and all you can see is that you're not at D. And that
this guy's a D.
That continues through the alphabet. And then you get to Z, and you have to have that whole debate. Because is it Z or is it Z? Well, where are you from? I speak English. So do I. This is too confusing.
Which English do you speak?
Yeah, which English?
It bums me out when I see this in like the world of art. And I see this a lot with music. And I've been seeing it even with wrestlers. There's a lot of that. I'm mad because I don't have the success of this guy.
Envy.
And then, right. And you don't look good by being that guy.
No.
If you're in a band or a wrestler or whatever it is that you do that's a form of art where people are having success around you, maybe that you'd like to have and you're not, instead of being looking for a reason to crap on them or look for an excuse for why they are where they are, maybe look at yourself and realize maybe the way that you're being is the reason why you are where you are. And instead of being this guy that's going on Facebook and crapping all over these local bands because your band's never amounted to anything, and I'm not talking about this guy specifically. Maybe his band was successful. I never heard of them, but they were. Right. I don't know. And trust me, like originally when I looked at it, I came up with a lot of great jokes about this guy's band. But I was like, you know what? Mm-hmm. It's not fair to the other four guys in the band or three guys in the band because they have a drummer that is bitter. And just stop worrying about other people's success. Worry about your own crap, man. Worry about being the best drummer that you can be in the band that you're in and busting your ass to make that band do well, because that's all I care about. And part of me was even going to write, look, man, I really don't care what your opinion is about me. All I care is that the guys I play music with respect me because I respect them. And that's, at the end of the day, that's all that matters, in my opinion. It's like I'm in a band with guys that I genuinely care about, and I know they care about me. Except for...
it's a great band.
Except for JT, he's a jerk. No, I'm kidding.
Well, the other thing, too, is... And I gotta say this, man. Like, social media.
Oh,
okay.
God.
Here we go.
No, you're...
But no, like, just...
Whatever you want to say, I understand.
Here it is, very simply, man.
It sucks.
There is lots of things that are better said behind closed doors and not on social media. I mean, this goes back a long time ago, but in Windowpane, and it was like a running joke in the room, and it wasn't a rah, 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 rah thing at all. It was kind of our joking, but if you remember the movie Dodgeball, there was Joe's Average Gym, and there was Globo Gym.
Yep.
There was a band in town that we referred to as Globo Gym. You know, and that was a funny, fun, private joke for us in our rehearsal space, never even across the mic, just in case someone was walking by the door. Because we were so beaten down and trying to figure out how to connect the dots together. And we're watching this other band that had a lot going for them all the way across the board. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even a point of, because we know these guys, and it wasn't a point of bitterness or hatred or anything. It's like, oh man, God, they're like Globo Gym.
Yeah.
You know, and we're Joe's Average Gym.
And you're throwing wrenches at them.
Yeah, they're in the nice gym, and they got the good uniforms, and you know, everything about them is awesome. And we're over here in like stinky shorts. And even though that wasn't aimed at them, it was more a joke on us.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
Still, that was kept behind closed doors.
Right.
As a private. So if you're like,
we all goof on each other. I'm not involved. Yeah.
But if you're out there like, man, this Bruiser Brody thing's a joke. It's a bunch of musicians that hit the ceiling and an air staff guy from KSW. I mean, come on.
It's personality.
If that's something you want to.
On air talent. Learning.
I can't see you through the Rock logo. but, sorry, guys. That was a visual joke for an audio show.
Yeah, it was great.
But for an audience of three.
I know. It was a pretty good joke, though.
They put these giant mic flags on our microphones, and they're just like these square
boxes.
I'm
going to post a pic.
That show the logo. Yeah. But now what it has done is completely blocked. It's basically we're doing a show with a book in front of our face.
Yeah.
Because you can't see the person.
I feel
in
like
front
I'm looking
you.
At Rev around the Tyco monolith.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we could all see one eye. Each of us are looking at each other with one eyeball.
This is an example of engineers coming up with an idea because they've never been on the radio, so they don't understand how this impacts what you do when you're on the air.
I'm just excited as hell that it's not a mirror.
Bro, that'd be like looking at your phone on selfie mode. Oh, I couldn't do it.
Man. God, I'd just be sitting here crying, man.
Is this how stupid I look all the time? Oh, God.
Why didn't anyone tell me?
Why? This is what my wife looks at when we're having sex?
No wonder her eyes are always shut.
No wonder why we only do it at night with the lights off.
She always wants to do doggy from the next room.
How does that even work?
Right? I didn't want to throw there's a Einstein-Rosen bridge involved, man. I get out my penis in the kitchen and then somewhere else in the house, yeah.
Well, anyways, I mean,
haters are going to hate.
Potatoes are going to potate. It's just how it is. Yeah. I mean,
if you feel better, if you got something nasty to say, my advice would be just keep it off social media so you don't stir up a bunch of S and make yourself look like an a-hole.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Just tell your friend, man, those Bruiser Brody guys were a joke. I hate that band. And you and your friend can say, yep.
Yeah.
And you're safe and we're safe and no one spends half an hour on a podcast talking about what a retard you are. Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you send us a Facebook message wanting to play a show with us.
Hey, guys, you guys are pretty cool.
I hope so. I think we talked about that once. That happened to Windowpane. The guy dissed us.
And then hit you up to play a show.
And then hit us up to play a show. Yeah.
I always love those. Those are the best.
Tony was like, Glenn, did you do the math on this? And like, yeah, he was like, he was astounded. It was like someone had just shown him fire for the first time.
Is he that clueless?
I can't believe this is actually happening.
How do you respond? Do you even respond? Because I mean,
I think Tony sent him
our laughing emoji.
I don't. Tony dealt with it in a very pro, you know, highbrow way.
Yeah.
Nice.
Nah, man. Tone's good like that, brother. He gets it.
Why create
an enemy, right?
You know? See, with me, the pettiness of me would just be like responding with a screenshot of what they posted and be like, meh.
I think he might have mentioned like, dude, it's a little odd because I was so mad I was going to go to the guy's house, but
I'm glad that somebody else was able to take care of that.
Well, no, I looked
you
up on Facebook and the first thing I saw was a picture of him with his infant kid, and I was like, I'm a dick. But I was like, what's his address? I think I had called maybe even Wyatt, and I was like, what's that guy's address? I was that angry.
You're going to bring me in a couple of my friends.
Then I was just going to go by myself, and we were going to chat. Yeah. But I saw a picture of this kid, and I realized that I'm just a giant dick, and I'm being really mad over something that truly doesn't matter.
Right.
That was a moment of personal, like, Glenn,
this guy's got a family.
Check yourself,
man. Let him be a loser.
Yeah, you know. And then I had to go have a couple drinks and realize, like, why have I never grown up? You know, I had to go through this whole personal reflection thing.
As you're drinking on his porch with a shotgun.
But I think Tone did say, like, hey, man, it is kind of amusing that you would hit us up about doing this event when, you know, you just said this and this on the string. And the guy was like, oh, that was meant as a joke, and it was taken out of context. Yeah. And Tony's like, yeah, I don't...
Where's the punchline?
I don't really see how, bro, but thanks for reaching out. And like, Tone was very professional, man. He was professional and cool about it.
It's good that he made him accountable for what he said, though.
Yeah. I can't remember if me and that guy communicated directly or not. We may have. But it really, especially with the whole, what he said was really hurtful. And then he hit us up, I think, like 2 days later about playing Showbox with us. Jeez. And I was like, I'm going to go. I just want to have a chat with
him. I want to go visit him.
I'm going to go visit him.
I want to see if his doorbell works.
And I don't get that mad very often, but I was mad about that one.
Well, yeah, because you take all the pride. And again, it goes down to the art. This is something you're very proud of. And some guy's being a jerk about it. And then trying to use your band as a chance for him to get more exposure.
Yeah, and it's just, you don't know me. You don't know what we went through to get to where we got to. We don't know how hard we work and just the years of crap and having shovel loads of poo thrown on us. And then you get to a point where you're...
That's right, Glenn's in Guar.
Yeah, that's right. Here's what I would say. You get to a point where you're in the lower middle, okay? Mm-hmm. That's kind of where Windowpane is. We're in the lower middle, and now I've got a bullseye on me for that?
Right. Like, bro, I'm working hard.
What is it that you think? What do you think is going on here, man? We're at the bottom of the middle. Like, you know, and you're gonna hate me for that? Like, okay. I don't already look at myself in the mirror and cry a little bit, you know? Like, come on, man.
Dude, damn. I wish I had the clip.
If I could afford Zoloft, what are we doing here?
I'll have to find it, but there's when Marc Maron interviewed Billy Bob Thornton, there was a part that really I connected to about just insecurities. And it was like Billy originally had social media like Twitter, and he's like, I had to get rid of it. And then Mark's like, why? He's like, well, all of a sudden, all the people, all the voices in my head about my insecurities now were real people saying the things that made me feel terrible.
No doubt, man.
And he's like, so I was at that point where people would be like, you suck. And he's like, yeah, I've felt that way about myself for the last 40 years, but thank you for telling me and confirming that I suck because man. I always thought that I sucked.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, dude, I know that feeling.
Yeah, so do I.
You know, when like someone takes a shot at you, and even though you want to tell yourself, oh, he's bitter, he's this, he's that, there's a part of you that's like, I agree with him because it's an insecurity. And not, and it's so awful. And when he said, and here's a guy, Billy Bob Thornton, biggest star, you know?
Human being, dude.
Right. And he's like, thanks for telling me I'm ugly and I didn't deserve Angelina Jolie, basically. You know, he's like, I know that. My whole life I've known I was ugly.
See, we all need to be a little bit more like Travis, who would just laugh and be like, dude, I was boning Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
You know, go cry yourself to sleep,
you
pal.
Sissy.
We all need more Travis, man. Yeah. He was giving me a hard time. I forget. I don't want to go into the, I don't want to go into the individual it was about, but someone who has basically backstabbed me and done me dirty for about 20 years. And I've always taken the high path with this individual.
Right.
Always taken the high road. And then finally he exploded on me over something that had nothing to do with me. And I didn't cuss at him or anything. I had actually been in this exchange where I was very heartfelt and very caring and very like, I'm really sorry you're going through this. And he just lashed out at me. And finally I was like, what is wrong with you? This has nothing to do with me. And I just said, please leave me alone.
Yeah.
And I received this dirty, dirty novel after that of him just ripping me a new one. And the ending of it was actually really funny. But, you know, and at that point, I cut this person out of my life. I'll do everything I can just to avoid them.
Right.
No need to go on social media and be like, this person's an a-hole. Well, you know what I mean? But Travis is like, after that, man, he's giving me a hard time left, right, and center. Like, all someone does you dirty, Glenn. Why don't you just go buy him a drink? You know, like, why don't you give him a hug, man? I'm like, shut up, dude.
He's
like, you put up with that for 20 years? I'm like, yeah, I was just trying to be the better man. He's like, dude.
F that guy.
What is wrong with you?
Lesson.
Yeah.
But I know how he feels. I know how you feel.
Yeah, don't do Glenn wrong. He'll buy you a car. You know? Like, Travis is giving me the hardest time about it. And the thing is, it was funny because he was right. I'm like, dude, you're right, man. Like,
yeah.
You're absolutely right, brother.
No, it's true.
You know, and he'd smile like, I know.
Trying to find that Marc Maron clip because it was, man, I'll have to track it down. But because I think you would definitely find great humor in it because it's kind of something that I think both of us probably battle in our own heads.
I think I said a long time ago, which is total improper English, but I said, everybody's just people. And that's Tom Cruise too, man. I mean,
everybody's just people.
Everybody's just people. That's the appellation coming out, you know?
Yeah. Oh, here. Okay. So it's one. I'll find this right now. We might, you know, it'll be a little bit of a hack job of editing, but so 121.
I wonder how many people are going to try and figure out who this dude is that triggered this whole.
Well, I mean, you could just go to the Facebook page and look.
See it.
But don't, seriously, though, don't witch hunt or anything like that.
No, I know. I debated even wanting to bring it up because I know that we have some awesome listeners that would like to just tell somebody to go F themselves in support of us. And it's not worth going down that road.
Did we say anything we're going to regret, or were we just honest?
No, you guys are all honest. You guys are all fine with it.
Rev's the moral compass of our show.
That's not saying anything good there.
Yeah. Dude, I lean heavily on you at all times, man.
I think my agoraphobia, though, was directly related to
he didn't want to go
fame
outside.
And also when the social network started really
here it is.
Coming along. You know,
the social networking platforms?
Only because I got a with so much criticism, like I'm a weakling. I can't take constructive criticism. I'm all for
right, but just
I can't take some dick just saying why is this guy doing whatever
right
or if they attack your family or your looks or whatever like that. I mean, look, here's the thing. All I want to say to fans or not fans, or guys that hate me or whatever they call people, trolls or whatever.
Yeah,
I just want to say I'm an insecure, dyslexic, obsessive compulsive guy who has panic attacks and is not comfortable in his own skin. I don't feel like I fit in. I'm a mess. I love my children and I stay home. And so please, for God's sake,
don't give me something.
Don't give me some more. So I think I just kind of went inside because, I think artists in a lot of ways have become afraid to stick their neck out of the cave because they get their head chopped off.
There's no way to, there's always a way into you now.
But You know, it's like, obviously, you know, the whole, the internet and a lot of this stuff is helpful. I mean, it's really
of
a helpful
course,
thing.
Of course, and, so there you go, basically.
Mm-hmm. No, it's, it couldn't, I love, he actually says, the way he put it, it was beautiful. Artists are scared to stick their necks out because they'll get their heads chopped off.
It's one of those things that I've had to, personally, I mean, obviously nowhere near the level of Billy Bob, but he was just talking and it's like that thing, I'm afraid to go out. I have anxiety and I've been trying to kind of hit that head on. And I mean, you made, Steve, you made the joke on the air about being the man about town. And
I
I'm
love
like,
that you are becoming
and
the
I'm
man
like,
about
no,
town.
No, screw that. I'm going to try more to go out. I'm not going to hole up and just play video games and spend, I'm spending less time on social media.
And it's cool because I keep getting messages from you. I ran into Rev. That dude's awesome. I'm like, because he's the man about town.
And it's been fun and just going to do a bunch of different random stuff.
And then I've been trying to acclimate to being social without being hammered. Because, I mean, people that know me know I've pretty much been, you know, S-faced for 2 decades because I'm so filled with self-loathing and social anxiety and just, you talk about self-hatred. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And the only way I could ever figure out how to deal with that was by performing music, which probably people don't understand. But the best way I can explain it is when I'm doing that, I don't have to be me. I am not me.
I get
it's like you listening to your radio. I'm not me when I'm playing music. And that's the that's how I escape me. But then when I get off stage, I have to be me again. And the only way I've ever known how to deal with that is to be hammered. And I've been trying to deal with social situations on a beer or two or a beer and a shot and not be S-faced. And it's been rewarding but challenging because I don't think people understand how wigged out I am just being in a crowded room. Man, people, I don't think they get it.
Nobody sees it on your face.
No.
Because I know I deal with that too, where it's like this overwhelming anxiety. And I'm talking to somebody and I'm having a good time talking to them, but in my head, I'm like, they hate me.
Yeah, I don't fit in. I don't belong here. No one wants me around. I'm the fifth wheel. I'm dude, that is the voice, and it's going nonstop, and it's loud.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it's overpowering whatever that person's saying. Definitely overpowering the nice stuff that people say.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so when he said that, man, it was one of those it's probably one of the greatest things I've ever heard, and it's helped me so much, just that one little clip right there. Just even like tolerating that guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even like, honestly, ever since I heard that, I was just like, man, and I think that's, it almost kind of makes me understand too, when we get emails from people saying how much they appreciate what we do because they, you know, we show our warts. They realize that they're not the only one with warts.
Yeah.
And so when you hear someone like Billy Bob, who's truly one of my favorite celebrities, and we had that great interview experience with him, and I wish I would have heard, wish I would have heard that part. I listened to most of that interview going to work that day. I knew we were going to interview Billy Bob.
You didn't get to hear that part.
I didn't hear that until after the interview on my way home, which is probably maybe a good thing. Maybe it would have got a little too kind of, you know,
it would have made for a good interview.
I think it would have been a cool moment to be able to, hey man, that really opened up my eyes to realize, and I already knew that everybody's dealing with crap, but to hear a guy like Billy Bob.
It doesn't get said a lot. Yeah.
And the way he said it.
Yeah.
Like that whole, like you said, you put your head out and you're afraid to because someone's going to chop it off. No different than what that guy did. Yeah, he tried to chop all of our heads off.
And you know, that's one of those things.
And Travis then responded, just peed on his face.
Well, yeah, that's the whole HBT program that I'm following now. HBT is hide behind Travis.
You too, for three easy installments of $69, can hide behind Travis.
I know what CBT is.
Where's Glenn? Eyes behind that big guy.
That pitbull of a man known as Travis.
Oh, dude.
The scariest looking teddy bear you'll know.
You got to understand, man. Like, Travis is the most genuine, sweet, grounded soul.
Yep.
Ever, but I love
him.
But
he's not going to take
he doesn't.
Ass,
he doesn't
man.
Take any ass.
Yeah. No filter. Yeah. That's what I love about Travis, he's honestly. Not, like, there's so much I love about the dude, but my favorite thing about him is that he has that I don't give an F.
He will not suffer fools.
Right.
Well, no, it's great.
I will see through your sarcasm.
There's a difference between
sissy.
Blunt and honest.
Yep.
He's not blunt. He's just honest. And sometimes when you're chatting with him, man, he'll say that and then kind of look at you like, ooh, are we cool? Did I just say that?
Yeah. He cares.
I'm like, brother, I love you, man. I'm glad you just said that.
Yeah, I agree. Like, he said stuff that he lets you know what he feels, but he feels bad if he hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
It's not like, which I think is really cool. It's like he's aware enough, like, you know, someone's aware that they care, but they're also not going to lie to you, which I think is fantastic, and more people should be that way. I also love what Mark said about, I'm okay with constructive criticism.
Yeah,
I feel the same way. Like, when I, like, even with the world of wrestling, because obviously I'm not very good and I'm just learning. So when somebody like a trainer or another wrestler tells me what I'm doing wrong, it's not like somebody crapping on me. It's like, oh, thank you. I like being told I'm wrong and how I can be better.
Help me get better at this. I'm all ears.
Yeah.
Yeah, even as a person, I'm all ears.
So we're talking about how much the internet sucks. I do have an example of why the internet is awesome.
Oh, okay.
And I'd like to thank our friend Calvin Amuma, who posted this on his Facebook page.
Nice.
It's a video that he posted, and I was in tears. It's just this woman who doesn't understand the concept of a pizza is the same size no matter how many slices you put it
in. Yeah, no. I've seen this, and it's amazing, man.
Okay.
Yeah. I have not seen this.
No, it's great. You got to listen to this, Rev. It'll blow your mind. It's rad.
I'm assuming this guy that's talking to her is her boyfriend, and he's asking her, do you like to slice your pizza in 12 slices or in 8 slices?
Okay.
Again, the pizza is going to be 12 inches no matter what.
Yeah. True. The amount of pie does not vary, but you got to listen to her just deteriorate and eventually lose her mind.
And this is the number one reason why I love the internet. This is so great, dude.
The waiter asks you if you'd like your large pizza that you've ordered into 8 or 12 slices. What do you choose and why?
8.
Why 8?
Because I won't be able to eat 12.
You don't think you could eat 12?
No. Yeah, because I can't eat the extra 4. What are you laughing for?
Let me get this straight, yeah? You're telling me that you would order a large Hawaiian pizza and you'd have it cut into 8 slices because you couldn't eat 12 of the same pizza?
Yeah, because I can't eat the extra 4 slices, Brad. I'm not fat and gutty. Why are you laughing? You're not understanding what I'm saying. I'd have 8, yeah? Because I can't eat the extra 4 because that'd be too much for me.
But it's the same pizza, Jen, so it'd be the same amount, wouldn't it?
How would it? There's 4 extra bits of pizza on my plate.
So would these 8 slices be the same size as the 12 slices?
Oh, I don't know. I don't cut pizza for a living, Brad.
No, it's just common sense, isn't it? Would they be the same size?
Do I cut pizza for a living? No. So how am I going to know if they're the same size or not? Do you measure your pizza when you go to a pizza restaurant?
Jen, it's the same pizza. What are you not getting about this?
Can't eat f***ing 12 bits, Brad.
You're still eating the same pizza, so no matter what size, how many slices you get, it's still going to be the same, isn't it?
No, because one's 8 and one's 12.
Ridiculous.
But I don't get it. Well, one is 8 and one is 12.
You gotta draw her a diagram, man.
Math.
But like, even then, she'd be like, look, there's 4 more slices.
No, I can't stomach those 4.
I can understand it if she's never seen, like, a full pizza. Like, she's only had pizza by the slice.
Good point, yes.
But, oh, man, see, that's oh, goodness.
Like, I suck at math.
Yeah.
But even if I'm told a large pizza is a large pizza, the size hasn't changed.
I know. Like,
there was another one like that.
That made my day, dude. I saw that today.
It was 3 dudes sitting on a porch, and it was something like, hey, man, so if you're driving over to Chicago or whatever, would you rather have like a quarter of a tank of gas or have the tank be 3/4 empty?
Mm-hmm.
And you hear these guys get into the huge debate, and the guy filming it is just roaring with laughter. You know, and they get heated, like as heated as her. Like, what? It makes sense. You know, the guy's just losing his mind, Brad, laughing.
Brad, I don't cut pizza for a living. How am I supposed to know?
That's when he's laughing. She's getting frustrated at him laughing, and then she doesn't understand it. But she's just like, I know what I'm saying now is wrong because you're laughing, but I don't know why.
Yeah, right.
And it's just, I can't fathom how this works.
And it's part of her that's thinking this Brad guy is an idiot. How does he not understand the concept of 12 slices versus 8 slices?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't work at a pizza place, Brad.
I don't cut pizza for a living, do I?
Come on, Brad.
Hey, guys, what weighs more, 1,000 pounds of feathers or rocks?
Right? I saw that argument happening on Facebook, too.
Oh, no.
There was a Facebook.
Or did someone be like, I'll take the feathers? Did someone really do that?
No, not that one, but there was a guy that was showing, or a woman showed, like, it said, the lighter and quicker way to travel. And I don't think they meant it to be lighter as in pounds, but just like more room, spacious, because they were showing you how to fold your shirt so you could turn them into like these little roll like cylinder looking things.
Oh, yeah, you roll them up.
And then you leave like one sleeve out and you fold the sleeve over so that way they're all these little tubes.
Right.
So it's an easier way to pack everything. You can fit more stuff in there.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, people are like, just because you roll it a certain way doesn't mean it's actually lighter than folding it the other way. And then there are people fighting.
Folding it the other way.
Yeah.
Dude, let me hit you to my jive. The weight's not going to change.
Well, people are fighting about this.
Yes!
I love it. I actually kind of have this sort of thing.
Oh, this is worldwide.
Happened. Yeah, this is a worldwide thing. That was international with that one lady.
Oh, my God, these people are allowed to breed. Yeah,
I had this sort of issue come up, and I got really, really mad because cat litter. Cat litter is a pain in the ass, and you have to get it all the time. And it's we were trying to figure out which ones we get, and I just let Michelle pick it, and she was always going for the one that is the lightweight cat litter. And I was like, you're paying too much for your cat litter. And she didn't really fathom it. But my argument was that we're not getting the same amount because of the weight difference, because it's a lighter weight cat litter, which means you're using less of it. Like, it was just one of those things where I'm kind of confusing myself now, actually, to be perfectly honest with you.
I don't cut pizza for a living,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it comes down to, yes, it's the lighter weight, so it's going to be a lighter weight for the amount you get. But I'm like, it's coming in the same package, but we're getting less because it weighs less. This isn't making any sense.
Not only with that, but also once it's soaked in cat urine and clumped, it's going to weigh the same amount. Yeah. Plus, the lighter stuff's going to track out of the box easier.
Actually, I think that's how it is right now.
Shit tracks out of the box easier, man. Yeah, dude, I love my cats with all my heart, man, but
dude, we've got like the laminate, the hardwood laminate on the house now. It's from the laundry room into
crunchies.
The kitchen.
You get the crunchies?
We get the crunchies because Frank doesn't know how, like, we have a cover for the cat litter and it still managed to go out, but also these little clay little footsteps that are going out from it, and I'm just like, this is so gross.
He's standing
in
his own pee.
Poop prints.
Yeah,
mine don't do that. See, we used to have the covered cat thing, but that's bad because out of sight, out of mind, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it was called the Buddha Dome, and I'd take the lid off the Buddha Dome, and it was a goddamn Buddha apocalypse.
My
like,
Buddha Dome.
Oh my God! You know, and I look at my cat like, oh, I'm so sorry.
My favorite part about it is that we got a covered one because Frank doesn't know how to they'll kick and
that's
cover
right.
their stuff.
Right.
Well, he's really bad at it, and he'll just like kind of launch everywhere.
He goes for distance.
Yeah. So we covered it, but it's a smaller cat box, and Carl is a huge cat.
He barely fits.
He looks like a turtle. His head sticks out of the hole when he has to poo. And it is the funniest
awesome.
Thing. But I feel so bad for him because he can't fit into this box, but he's such a good cat that he will go in the box. To be perfectly honest, if it was my situation, I'd
like,
go
F
poo.
That.
Yeah, I'd poo in the tub or something,
I'm doing it on the couch. It's more spacious.
There's two boxes, but they're kind of side by side. With a little rubber kitty mat in between them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird how that works. I don't know how that became established, but they kind of do pee in one and poo in the other.
It's
kind of neat. That's the way it worked out. Originally, it was because two cats, two different boxes, two ends of the house when
Absolutely.
They first got together, right?
Yeah.
Well, we still keep the two litter boxes. But what's funny is if the quality of the boxes becomes subpar, they'll pee on that mat right in the middle.
Yeah.
So it's like, you got to
voicing
gotta,
their displeasure.
Yeah, you got to stay up on that, or the cat will be like, it's like that, huh?
I'll teach you.
It's right on that mat.
You guys got to teach your cats how to poop and pee in the toilet. I see those videos.
I know.
How do I even do that?
It's actually not that hard of a thing, but you need to do it when they're a kitten.
Okay.
And it's literally, you get the cat litter and you make, it's almost like a little, like a colander sort of thing where you put the cat litter on there and it's just like a over the seat. Like you can have a little thing that puts it
you
in there.
Get them doing that.
And they'll get him doing it. And then eventually you can remove that and they'll just be fine with it. They just need a place to hide the smell. That's all they're trying to do. And the water will do that and it'll be acceptable for them if you start them as kittens. You can look up YouTube videos and we did, but then we got the cat and I was like, I don't want to do that. That's too much work. I know that they know how to do it in the cat litter. It's just instinct for him at that point. And I'm like, I am really lazy when it comes to this sort of thing.
I've had it.
Yeah. I don't want to deal with that.
Hey, before we do the voicemails, emails, and text messages, I want to give a quick shout out to our buddy Chris Wilcox. You remember Chris? He was at Live Day. He was the guy dressed as Fred Durst that said, I ate Fred Durst.
Yes.
Well, he just hooked us up with something pretty damn cool.
Huh?
And they are MiGsCast stickers, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
No,
those things are so cool.
Yeah, yeah. Take as many as you want.
That is beyond cool.
How cool is that?
Yeah, put it on your Harley.
Oh, my wife is
put it on my
I have been riding my scooter. I have.
I saw pictures of Tawny with the.
Man! Once I got the rear footrest installed, man, dude,
I was cheesing, man. I was so happy for you because I know this has been something you wanted for a while, and I can imagine having your lady ride on the back of your hog is probably fun.
Oh man! But it's like the whole dynamic of things changed. Like it's all about like let's get on the bike. We went for a ride. We sat in a coffee shop and had coffee and like nibbles and chatted. Mm-hmm. It was amazingly cool because normally it's like what do you want to do? You know, but it was different. The whole thing's different. And like, we went for a ride the other night and stopped and had dinner and then went for a ride, just cruised before we went home. And
so is that a little bit of an aphrodisiac there?
Sure. Yeah. I would say she's beaming to the point that, it's funny that you say the aphrodisiac because it was the other night. We had gone for a ride. We came home. Then I think we went for another ride. Then we came back home. And then it was like getting on midnight. And I was like, hey, you want to go deposit that check? She was like, yes. And we literally went to deposit a check in the middle of the night just to go for a ride on the bike.
Nice.
Then we got home that night. And I got in the shower. I got out of the shower. I was coming to get in bed. She was in bed with all the covers up over her, but she had her helmet on.
That is awesome.
Talking my language, baby.
So she said aphrodisiac. I was like, oh, yeah, there was that whole thing. And she was laying there in bed with her helmet on and this huge smile. She's like, hey, baby. Yeah.
You're like, hey. She's makes like, me think of that Dick Rossetti song. Do you remember when he was with Twink the Wonder Kid? He had a song called Back of Your Hog. Dedicated to Glenn.
Dedicated to Tawny.
That too.
Love you, baby.
Okay. All right.
Can we get to the chorus? Here we go. All right, I'll stop right there.
Thank you.
Whatever Dick Rossetti's involved, there are plenty of beeps.
Oh, so many swear words.
Yeah, I got to. So it came with they call it a sissy bar. It's a little thing that goes on the back fender to basically make sure no one flies off if you pop the clutch or something.
Did you take it off and give it to the guy on Facebook?
I'm going to be removing. So I put it on there, and then I just had a single rider seat, and so man, the little additional seat, right? But man, no money, right? So no money. So we found these little seats. You can't even tell, but it's just like a little seat. It looks like a seat, but it just has six suction cups on it, and it goes right on the fender, right?
What,
dude? So, yeah, are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
That does not seem safe at all.
Oh, it's not going anywhere. But so
a couple strips of duct tape, you're good to go.
That was
right?
Like Gorilla Glue.
Oh, you look at
fine.
It. If you look at it, it looks like a $150 seat, but it's not. The problem is when my beautiful bride is on it, she can tell that it's not a $150 seat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, so the sissy bar has no padding on it. So she has these little steel bars that go up against her gorgeous little backside.
Oh, dear.
And just like they're trying to rattle the fillings out of her skull. And then she's on this little $19 suction cup pad that suction cups to the fender. And she's still down to ride, but it pretty much has been established like anything over about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And she probably couldn't take it.
Yeah.
Well, I think we went for like maybe a 20-minute, half-hour ride the other night. But yeah, she has a ball, but like as soon as possible, we have to make some upgrades.
Yeah.
Because right now she's like, she wants to go cruise with me so bad.
She's still vibrating like an hour after the motorcycle ride.
Dude, we'll get home and we're just sitting there chilling and talking. She's like, oh, my whole body's shaking. I'm like, really?
Why are you still standing? Because like, I can't sit.
I'm like, I was really comfortable.
Yeah. She feels like she's on one of those old school workout machines and it was just those bands.
I gotta get her upgraded fast. Man.
You guys are sitting on the couch like, Glenn, what do you like for dinner?
There's talk of, if I can pull it, because I got to do a bunch of work on it Saturday. If I get it done in time, there's talk of a ride to Rainier and back with a bunch of us on Sunday.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah.
But it's about 3 hours round trip.
Yes.
I can't do that to Tawny. It'd be like, Tawny, there's three rabid chimps. Get in there and have fun. You know, she'd just get beaten to death.
Yeah.
You know,
that would be a fun trip, though.
Yeah.
But you might want to wait.
If I get the bike done, I might go, or I might just tap out and spend time with my bride, which is never a bad thing.
No.
We'll see what happens. But yeah.
Been things are good, though, with it.
Things are great. I think I told you guys there's one thing I got to fix.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I probably shouldn't be riding it, but I can't.
You can't help not. It. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's just sitting there looking at me like, so dude.
And the weather's awesome.
Ride me, Glenn, ride me.
Yeah.
You only have a short window of time to enjoy it here in Washington.
That's right.
Today looks like crap.
I know. I actually wore pantalones today.
You know? I know. Dude, so the weather like last week was like high 80s. And so I'm going camping this next weekend for Summer Meltdown in Darrington.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're outside. And I'm like looking at, we're all looking at the weather, and it increasingly gets slower and slower. I mean, it's slower.
Lower.
Yeah, lower. So it's like now it's like 70s, which is fine. But now it says Friday, chance of rain, high is 60s.
Bring a tarp.
Well, we have, thankfully.
Good.
Yeah, we definitely we have like a little tent tarp, and Ted and I are staying in an RV.
Oh, then you're fine.
But we want to be outside, and we want to let the music take its control over us and wiggle around the campgrounds. And you can't really do that when you get dumped on.
Bastard. Yeah, you can.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Take more acid.
Okay.
You stay in the parking lot pinching your own nipples like, oh.
Makes it better.
Do you need an umbrella? No, I need another dose.
Oh, man. I remember the time I was on mushrooms and it was pouring. That was weird. That was at the softball game.
Oh,
and it rained out the softball game, and I sat in the dugout waiting for everyone else to show up, and they were not coming. And
it was raining.
Yeah, and it was pouring, and I'm sitting there watching the...
You're like the lonesome tripper.
Dude, and the infield was flooding, and there were ducks who showed up, and I wasn't sure if the ducks were real or not, but they were swimming in the puddles of the infield, and I'm like... I don't know what's going on, but I cannot stay here anymore.
See, kids, don't do mushrooms before a softball game.
God, do not.
What were you hoping that was going to happen? Let's say the weather was fine.
Did you
really think that you could play softball on mushrooms?
I was
going to
play softball on mushrooms. I had a plan.
I bet he would have owned.
He could have.
You know what?
You figure if you had nice tracers on the ball, you could almost plot its trajectory as it came at you.
Yes.
The plan.
You know, like.
I mean, that guy threw a no-hitter on acid.
Right.
And he was in the pros.
The plot.
Wait,
what? You don't know about that?
I think it's on Netflix. You got to watch that documentary. It's called, like, something Doc No-No or something.
Yeah, was it Doc Gooden?
Doc Ellis.
Doc Ellis, yeah.
So a major league pitcher on a head full of acid.
Yeah. Suddenly pitched a no-hitter.
Baseball's more interesting to me now.
And it wasn't like he was good at it. It was a bit of a mess, but he made it happen.
Oh, yeah. It was like, I mean, he was throwing wild pitches. I mean, it was not a very good outing, but nobody hit. And
he was tripping balls.
He was tripping balls. This happened in the
70s. As a Major League Baseball player, what are you thinking when you decide to drop acid before a game?
This guy didn't care.
Yeah.
You watch this documentary. It's called No No, a documentary, D-O-C-K, because his name's Doc.
Right.
Doc Ellis. And says, in the 70s, Doc Ellis pitched a no-hitter on LSD, and his outspoken style courted conflict and controversy, but his latter years were helped spending others recover from addiction. But yeah. He pitched
just a mess. Then he got clean. Then he helped other people get clean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the guy was like, just like all about, it's a great documentary, not just about the acid part. It's all about like the controversy that was him as a public figure, but the acid part's pretty freaking awesome.
So Rev, you were looking to.
Dude, what my whole plan was for it was usually at these ones back when we did the softball games, I was either relegated to pitcher, which was terrifying anyway.
I would never be a pitcher in softball.
Oh God, because you're just lobbing these things for people to destroy. Like right. We've seen people almost lose their heads, and I got actually hit in the thigh once. Really, really, really close to the nuts. But at that point, I was either relegated to first base or the outfield. My whole plan was, I'm going to go on to this. It was really close to my house, so I had no issues. I could get back, no problem, no worries. And I was just going to hang out in the outfield, probably during both sides.
Playing with grass.
Yeah, and just lay in the grass, because I know that laying in the grass is awesome.
During the game.
Yeah. You know? It was basically going to be like a six-year-old playing peewee baseball. You know, how you're like, you're not paying attention to anything. You're just doing your own thing.
I remember playing peewee, and they put me in the outfield, and because no one can hit that far. I get so bored, I just sit down and literally
play in the dirt,
grass.
Play in the grass. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
That's what my plan was, and then it rained. No one showed up. Actually, one person showed up and be like, hey, the game's rained out. I'm like, well, yeah, I know that now. And so we got a ride to the bar that we would go to afterwards.
And I remember seeing Rev there.
Yeah. And it was in a strip mall, and it was a Mexican joint, because I remember thinking, well, in order to be normal, I need to order food.
I need to wear a sombrero.
And so I ordered.
I was literally going to say that.
Rev shows up with maracas and a sombrero.
Hey, guys, he's got a sombrero. I'm here perfectly normal.
His pupils are dilated a half a mile.
Oh, God,
you know,
dude.
These black shark eyes in the sombrero.
I was not fooling anybody, but I ordered this
giant burrito. Yeah. And it came to me and I looked at it and I was like, I don't want this. So I spent most of the time asking anybody if they wanted any of my burrito.
Will you eat this for me, please?
Yeah. And that didn't quite work out. So eventually I just got a ride home from Steve. Just got back home fine.
Yes, but it did give you a ride. I remember that.
It was a long road for I did not need to be doing any of that.
Yeah, like, where's Rev? Rev's, he's somewhere. I don't know.
He's right. Yeah, he's right here, but he is somewhere else.
Somebody look for the Rev. Where is he?
Snapping into the position.
Oh, there he is. Hey, Rev.
So one of the most common things to do is straight eighth notes, like to accompany a ballad, a bolero.
There's Rev again. It's not the first time I had to drive the Rev around when he was on mushrooms. Remember the other time I visited you at your place?
I know.
He was just tripping balls in his apartment with someone else and on mushrooms, and then I eventually drove them to a local park so they could play in the grass.
Yeah, so we play in the grass, and then we did the slow roll back. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, you know,
hallucinogens were fun.
It's the opposite end of it.
Still
but,
are.
Our driver was tripping balls. I think that was me. It might have been me, Kyle, and Castle the night of the Queens of the Stone Age show. But we were at the Mecca, and we bumped into my bro, tattoo artist Lance. Mm-hmm. And we were like, hey, man, I think we're going to go down to Studio 7 and kind of continue partying there. And he's like, well, I'll drive you guys down. I'm like, well, dude, thanks. And he's like, yeah, I'm headed down there now. So we finished our drinks and went down. I think halfway through the drive, I was sitting shotgun. Lance was like, man, I am tripping balls.
What?
And I was like, I was like, huh. he drove beautifully. Drove magnificently.
Does Lance want you to have people know that he did this?
I don't think he'd be upset.
Should we bleep his last name?
Yeah, I got that. I already did the timestamp. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
He might be like, hell yeah, I own that. I mean, he's that type of cat.
I know. I just don't want him to be like, all of a sudden, someone's like, dude.
Hey, guys.
Maybe bleep out his profession then, too.
How about some guy named Lance?
And then when we got down there, I think I had pulled Castle aside and Kyle and was like, man, turns out Lance was tripping balls. They're like, really? But no one was generally fazed. Like, yeah. He drove magnificently.
Yeah, we got there.
Well, that happened once to me. When I first moved out here, I was just rolling with this fun crew of people. But they were just, I feel like, in a weird way, I bet you there were a bunch of local musicians. And I feel like you probably crossed paths with these guys. If I was able to point them out, I would imagine that you probably maybe at some point played shows with them. It was like late 90s, early 2000s. And I feel like this, in some weird shape, I would imagine you were friends with them as well.
Our paths crossed.
Right, right. So they were good people. And we were having a great time. I remember one night we were at this party in Beacon Hill. And I see my friend Adam, who was the bassist of my old band when I first moved out here. And he's wrestling this large woman, this large black woman, and they're just wrestling outside. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? There's like a circle around them, and he's like 100 pounds soaking wet. And he's laughing and all this. I'm like, why is he, what's going on? Like, oh, they're high on mushrooms, and they're just wrestling. I'm like, okay. Go in the bar. And I drove.
They're like, Steve, you're high on mushrooms. She's not really there.
Yeah. Well, I'm sober because I was driving.
Your friend is just flailing on the ground. Why is he wrestling that chick, man?
So it was like a friend of a friend's place. I'm like, you know, I don't feel like drinking. But I see everyone that I sit next to this one guy. He's like, looks like a vampire. And he just sits next to me. I'm like, hey, how's it going? He goes, these mushrooms are incredible. And I'm just like, finally, I go, how come everyone's on mushrooms but me? I want to be on mushrooms. I say that out loud, and it was almost like I was on mushrooms because out of nowhere, this person who turned up, this drummer,
here you go.
Here you are. It just has a handful of mushrooms.
Join us.
So I'm like, okay, well, this is going to be my night, and I'm not going anywhere. So I just grabbed the mushrooms, and I ate them.
Now everyone's a Smurf.
Right. Everybody's tripping. I'm having a time of my life. This party got a million times better. This person's still wrestling that person. I'm like, I'll bet money that he's going to win. Come on, Adam. Take this big woman down. All this is going on. So the night gets to the end, and I'm like, well, I'm just going to crash here. It's no big deal. And even though, like, the place where I was originally going to crash was maybe 8 blocks away. So they finally like, hey, everyone's got to go. Everyone needs to leave because the person also was on mushrooms. And I think they hit that point where like, you all need to go.
Yeah.
I can't take this anymore. Get
been
out.
There. Right? Yeah.
So everyone's like, well, I'm too drunk to drive. I'm too high. I'm too this. Well, at the time, nobody knew I was on mushrooms except for that person that gave me the mushrooms because I was just kind of in my own little world.
Steve will drive us.
And they all go, well, Steve's fine. He can still drive. And everyone looks at me, right, Steve? And I'm just like, Steve, you haven't had a drink tonight. I haven't. you can drive. Okay. So now I'm like white knuckling it. 8 blocks seems like an eternity. In the car, it's a station wagon. It's someone in the passenger seat. It's my buddy Adam, who refuses to let the music be quiet. I keep going, turn the music
down.
Oh,
that's the worst,
and he's
actually
jacking it as loud as possible. I'm like, just turn it, and I lower it. He jacks it back up. I'm like, just lower it. In the back, there's three people, and then his now, I guess, wife, but at the time, girlfriend, passed out across the laps of three dudes. So it's like this motley crew of five guys with a passed out woman on the lap of them. I'm like, we are asking to go to jail. Lower the music.
Man, I've driven
this is
around
8 blocks.
Dude, right. I don't know why. I was always
like, it took a day.
It's that immortality thing or invincibility thing you think you have. And I've driven around Western Maryland, like, you know, hammered and tripping balls so many times. And I always be like, yeah, man, I'll drive. Let's go.
Right.
You want swinging sheets? Okay, let's go. You know, and then I'm walking into a convenience store like, this was a terrible idea. You know?
Like, even saying it now, like, I'm looking back, I'm like, how stupid was I?
Well, really I don't think I would have crashed, but, you know, challenging. You know, it was all very challenging. Like, even, you know, speed limit signs were challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Working the pedals was challenging. Yeah. I mean, it was challenging. And I'd look down and be like, yep, I'm doing 50. And then it'd be like, you're doing 50, dude. Like, whoa, maybe I shouldn't be doing 50. You wearing a seatbelt? You know I never do. Man, there's five of us in the cab of this truck. Cozy, isn't it? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I should be doing this, man. You got to pee a little bit, don't you? Yeah, but
yeah.
I can hold that. Where are we going? Hagerstown. That's 45 minutes away.
Oh, my God.
What am I going to do? Like, there was
a lot of chance.
I did that so many times,
that
man.
That 8 block strip was like, it took all
you said,
night.
That's why I brought all that up. I'm like, 8 blocks? I'm like,
no.
8 blocks? I mean, I remember times when I had to pull over so I could peek, and then later I'd be like, I'm ready. No. Get back in the truck. Man, we probably shouldn't get back in the truck. It's going to be okay.
And I just remember it was like 5 a.m. We finally parked.
They left at 3, by the way. 5 a.m. is when they arrived. 8 blocks down the street.
Quite possibly. It might have taken an hour.
You're going very slow. I think I'm speeding.
You're going 5 miles per hour. That stop sign's not going to turn green. It's just a stop sign. Now we're carrying his girlfriend back to their apartment, and then the rest of the crew are all done except for me and Adam, and Adam's just still flying high because he probably did more than just that, and I'm still feeling pretty good, and it's 5 a.m., and he's just like, you can't go to sleep yet, can you? I'm like, no.
No.
He's like, you want to go shoot some hoops? Yes.
Shoot some hoops?
We walk? I don't even know how far to a public park with a basketball walking by a bunch of, like, and it's like kind of a sketch neighborhood.
Yeah, you're in a bad area.
Don't even care.
It's like Young
We're
Guns.
We're just going to go play some basketball.
They're in the spirit world.
Yeah, right.
Like 5:30, 6 a.m. And we played hoops for hours.
Oh my
just,
God.
Whoop, whoop. We come back. His now girlfriend is awake and alert and sober. And she's like, where have you guys been?
Playing basketball.
We're sweating.
Like, duh, playing basketball. What are you thinking?
We just played basketball.
Running from werewolves. You're all sweaty. I know.
I'll never forget. We put on Soundgarden and passed out. That was the end of the night.
The end.
Or the start of the morning.
The beginning of the morning.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Some good times. Let's do some quick voicemails, emails, and text messages. How do we even get down this road?
I don't
even remember.
I think the Rev, he did mushrooms.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh! For the big sky!
I hadn't heard this one in a while. I forgot how good it was.
Yeah, this is awesome, right? Oh, double bass.
Jesus, Ziggy.
You're the best.
Did we ever figure out, is he going to be a dad? Was that legit?
He never left another voicemail.
Or maybe he did.
He's out there contemplating the pregnancy, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, they don't think I could be a good father.
I think he'd be a great dad.
We don't know what happened.
My dad pulled it off.
My dad sort of did.
Yeah. No, my pop's my hero and my best friend.
Aw.
And I got a little older and went, oh, wow, he's just a guy.
Right?
What was he thinking, having a kid? That's crazy.
Dude, that's like,
he's just like me.
Right. One of the things I've realized is that I am almost twice the age. Actually, I'm over twice the age that my mom was when she had me.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh my God, I was a train wreck at 20.
My pop was 27 when I was born.
And
I think about that and I'm like, what?
Yeah. Like, you basically were his trial and error.
What?
When you think about it, let's see what happens.
No, but highest marks. He did amazingly well. So did Mama. You know, like, well done, guys. Sorry about the whole driving on acid story, but they don't listen to the show.
That was a make 'em up. That was all fiction.
That was entertainment purposes only.
Yep, exactly.
None of us have ever done mushrooms.
No.
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I was on paper the whole time.
I just ate some mushrooms on my pizza. It wasn't real mushrooms.
Yeah, it's great.
Delicious vegetables.
Yeah.
We got this text at 253-271-4787. It's from Jeremy, the guy who left that awesome Bruiser Brody Kickstarter.
Oh,
comment.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, yeah.
He says, hey, where is it? Oh, wait, no, Jacob. Sorry, his name was Jacob. It said, dudes, thanks for reading my Kickstarter review of Bruiser Brody. I had a lot of fun writing it, and it was really cool that you guys gave me a shout out like that. You can do whatever you want with that copy. Thanks again, Jacob. That was awesome. I bring up Jeremy because Jeremy then left a comment on our Kickstarter comment section of the Kickstarter thing. And you just go to Kickstarter, type in Bruiser Brody, you'll find our pre-sale for Everyone's Dead.
It's the one that's like a billion times over the goal.
Yeah.
Just go to Kickstarter, type in Sour Grapes, and it comes right up.
Check out our second record, which is going to be called Publicity Stunt. He says, thanks for offering a way to help this great music make it to the masses. I've heard you guys on the Migs podcast and love the passion that you guys have. While I would probably never be able to make it to a live performance and I don't own a turntable, this Kickstarter allows me to help make this album get to me faster. The only issue I have is to open and play the autographed CD or buy a second one for listening in the car. Odds are I'll get a second one. I hope this reminds you guys that we are ready for Bruiser Brody and that your efforts will soon be rewarded.
That's rad.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, Jeremy. That's Jeremy S. That is pretty damn awesome. And, dude, it's like once you hit that goal, now all of a sudden it's like, Christmas
more.
Eve.
More.
The longest Christmas Eve
more.
Ever. It's like, we have 27 more days before this is done. Come on. Let's get this done so we can press this record.
Like, we'd all texted and stuff, but I hadn't seen Jeff Rouse in a minute. And we both played at
Slim's.
Joe Dredd's breast cancer benefit.
Boobie-palooza or whatever it's called.
Yeah, down at Slim's, which was rad. But yeah, so I run into Jeff and I'm like, dude, so our Kickstarter. And he's like, I know. Like, just like, how does that happen?
Oh, right.
Like, how did that happen? I'm like, dude, I don't know. But it's really, it makes you feel very positive. Like, people really are responding
they
to what
like
you're doing.
Me. They
He's like, I just
like
can't
me.
Believe, like, he was just, we were both kind of had that moment of mutual awe.
Yeah.
Like, damn.
Well, I was like even the other morning and I looked, I'm like, wow, we hit 5,000. Like, we were just at 4,000. Like, and then I looked and I'm like, no way. There's no way another person purchased the acoustic performance. And I look and I'm like, whoa, and I looked at my wife, I'm like, I can't, she's like, that's awesome. I'm like, yes, I just can't believe it, but it's beyond awesome. So it's very humbling that
it
people
is.
Have been
it really
purchasing
touching.
It and,
very touching.
And please continue to pre-order it because obviously that's a great way to get the record and you'll get it before anyone else. And the more money we raise, the more copies we can press and get out there. And
that's true, actually. You know, part of that $2,500 budget was just to do what I'd call a more limited run.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, all that is subject to change now, I guess, based on demand. But you know, thanks, everybody. It's just kind of staggeringly cool.
It's so beyond awesome.
So hard to believe, man.
And I'm just pumped to finally. And I met with Chris Dahl, who does all the cool design stuff for the Migs cast, but he's also doing the graphic design
Which
for the Bruiser Brody record. And I went over to his place yesterday and he was showing me just kind of what he's conceptualizing for the inside liner notes. And it's
happening?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Dude, thank you so much, man.
Yeah, like, Chris. Yeah. And it the best way I could describe it, it almost feels like a weird like pop culture magazine vibe to the lyrics. Like, you know, it's all kind of there and then like certain words come out bigger.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, and it's very, because the album cover is white, so a lot of white on black.
Yeah.
And then there's like these like pictures of all of us isolated that are like kind of blended into the background as the words are over it. It's very different
and
cool.
Can't wait to see it.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. He showed me like he had like a more traditional vibe and he's like, but this is kind of what I'm playing with. I'm like, that.
Yeah.
Go with that.
That's cool.
I can tell that that's, you could get his art, his passion from that.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm pretty excited we're pretty close to getting that all done. And
nice. That's really cool.
Yeah. And then his daughter made a really cool I don't think I showed this to you, Rev.
I
got a text from Steve. He sent it out to the group yesterday, but his daughter sat down and drew an album cover for us as well.
Just cool.
For the hell of it. Which, aww, you know, I saw that and I was just like, I think I just replied like, you know, horns up, heart, horns up. Like, man.
Oh, that's adorable.
You know, how cool is that, dude?
That is so cool.
I'll put it on the Mixcast page.
Absolutely.
But it's Bruiser Brody with a heart over the eye. And it's made by Emma. And then it's this guy. And oddly enough, there's a bunch of slices of pizza going back to that Facebook video. And then it says, the guy's also got a pizza face, like a full pie.
Well, you should understand, too, the running joke since we hit the original $2,500 goal in 24 hours. And then it kept going past. So then the plan was not to do the record at all and just to have a pizza party in Italy.
No, we've never shared that inside joke with anybody except for us.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the fact that she made this giant thing, and then it also says, I'm Pizza Man. In a caption bubble.
See, I forget who said it, but it was like, so does this mean we have to have this pizza party now? Like,
yes, that was Travis. Yeah. I was like, yeah.
Maybe not in Italy, but we could get it and have some pie.
We could go to Luigi's.
Go to Luigi's and have some pie.
Yeah, we are playing there on August 17th.
Yep.
So maybe before we play there, we eat some pizza.
Oh, by the way.
Yes.
Go ahead and I'll make the official planting of the seed now. Migs Fest 3. I believe we found a venue.
Okay.
And it's going to be coming into focus for mid to late October.
Okay.
So that is in play right now. Details to come.
Awesome.
So just nice. There it is, kids. Migs Fest 3. That's that wheel's turning. Sorry.
Nice.
Somehow Luigi's and pizza made me think of Migs Fest.
Migs Fest. Why not, right? And that'll be our big CD release show.
That's correct.
But for those Kickstarter backers, you'll already have the
record. You already have the record.
That's right.
That's right.
And for a couple of you guys, you're going to have your own private show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Amazing.
I'm actually really looking forward to those private acoustic shows. Rev, you should come along.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. I can play the maracas.
Yes, you can.
On acid.
Either or works for me.
What if all of us showed up to that house party and we were all just frying on acid?
They'd be like, this was the best ever. They could barely play, but it was so fun.
They did a 7-hour set, but they only played the beginning of Everyone's Dead the entire time.
Glenn laid in the corner with my dog and stroked its ear for 4 hours.
4 hours!
Steve sat on the toilet singing some weird song.
But he also played double bass. I was really confused.
This comes from Mike via email, themigscast@gmail.com. Steve, Rev, Glenn, what's up, Mixcast?
Hello.
I'll try to be brief, but let's go back in time to Wednesday of this week.
Oh.
July 25th, in case this is read from weeks from now.
Thank you for that, actually.
Interested in time travel? Meet me here last Thursday, 5 p.m.
How about we're on time? This is actually a week ago. I'll start my day heading to work. I turn on my favorite radio station, only to find my favorite show is in Best Of. Oh, no. Now what do I do?
Oh, yeah.
I know. Let's see if there's a new Mixcast episode. Hell, yes, there is. First topic, pre-order on Kickstarter. As I was listening to the cast, I jumped on Kickstarter and made my first ever backing for Bruiser Brody's new record.
Thanks.
Man, dude. Thank you, Mike.
Damn.
New record. I really wanted the signed copy, but it just wasn't feasible this time, so I donated $45, and it was already at $3,600. I'm so excited and can't wait till October. Keep it up, guys. You all rock. P.S. Glenn, thanks for the lift the other day. This was my first time actually meeting you, and you're just as awesome in person. I got in, told you I knew you from Windowpane in the cast, but we had a great conversation about anything that wasn't what you do. Greatest ride ever, my man. Take care and stay positive from Mike and Kent.
Nice. Well, right on, man.
That's too funny.
Did I not realize that we... I think we must have... No. I think we did talk about
music. He said
he
knew you from Windowpane.
Yeah, oh, man.
In the cast.
Yeah, far out, right?
How cool is that?
That's beyond cool, man.
That is really, really cool.
Cheers, brother. Thanks,
thank you, Mike.
Man.
All right, let's check out some voicemails while we got a couple more minutes. And you can leave us a voicemail, 253-271-4787. Let's see what we got.
Mixcast. It's your buddy Wyatt Olney.
Oh, dude.
Wyatt.
Nice.
Whoa. I was literally thinking of Wyatt and actually positive thoughts for a change yesterday. I was like, I haven't talked to Wyatt in a while. I hope he's doing okay. I see him on Facebook, and it sounded like he was dealing with
Wyatt
some stuff.
Wyatt and I, his head tried to fall off his shoulders as well.
I heard about that.
Yeah, Wyatt and I have, hopefully when he wins the lottery, like, money will fall to the sky for me, too, because pretty much it's like, Wyatt, man, I broke my pinky toe. And he's like, I also broke my pinky toe.
Wouldn't that suck if he did something awesome happened, and then nothing awesome happened for you? And you're like,
I'd be happy that Wyatt had something awesome happen.
No, I post on Facebook how much I hate him.
You know, I'm like, man, I'm suffering. And Wyatt's like, funny that you're suffering. I, too, am suffering.
Crazy.
And he sends me, like, a selfie, and there's a shadowy reflection behind him, and I look, and it's the goddamn Reaper. So I'm glad Wyatt's okay. I
love curly hair.
He's my Wyatt.
Yes.
Yeah, dude.
Well, I'm glad that he called in, man. It's awesome.
Your buddy Wyatt Olney. I have been quiet for a bit because Glenn and I had a similar meeting with the Grim Reaper. I just figured I would give you guys a quick update. Glenn, I got a very similar thing done to you, except they nicked the nerve in my tongue. So now I'm kind of talking like I am handicapped a bit. Not to say that I'm not already handicapped.
I was going to say, he sounds a little different.
I saw the picture of him getting the dental work, too. Dude,
can he still sing?
He had a tooth. I'm sure he's going to be fine, but he had a tooth that was messed up, and then the tooth got infected, but the infection was contained in the tooth. But the tooth was in trouble, and then they couldn't extract the tooth because of it. It was wound up on another tooth, and so he just kind of dealt with this and suffered with it for years. And then finally something else bad happened. They had to go in and like take a section of his jaw out to kind of make sure this didn't get worse and to stop the pain. And yeah, like Wyatt underwent, I just had a big tooth jerked out. They took a chunk of his head.
Jesus.
Yeah. Wyatt's always trying to one-up me, man.
Yeah, man. Well, I hope it wears off, because otherwise it'll be Elmer Fudd in the wreckage.
No, dude. You Fudd against the machine. Everyone's going to want to see that.
Well, welcome to Weattle.
No, he's going to be fine. He's going to, it won't be. He's going to be fine. But Wyatt, already glad you're okay, buddy.
But this is pretty rough. So I'm wishing you guys plenty of positivity. I hope you guys are able to talk a little better than I am. Huh? And hopefully I'll see you guys soon when I'm actually able to talk.
I'm sorry.
I love you guys. Stay positive. Rev, I will see you at your housewarming party.
Yeah.
Big kisses. Have a great week, y'all. Bye.
Poor dude.
Yeah.
Oh, why? We love
He's
you, man.
Be okay, dude.
Oh, but yeah,
it was a big deal. It was like, it was a major surgery.
Yeah, it doesn't sound very whittle.
Yeah. Don't worry, Wyatt. I'll get you a drink when you come over to the place.
I was going
to
say, he doesn't sound any different than he does on any other Saturday night, man.
That's why when he's had a few drinks.
That's the only way I've ever heard Wyatt talk.
Oh, Wyatt, get well soon, my man. We miss you.
Wow, love you, bro. Man. Heal up, man.
Yeah, seriously. She got another voicemail.
Hi. I think you should play We Are Who We Are. Okay, bye.
Wha Julia?
We are who we are.
Okay,
when do we take requests?
This is the Migs cast, not BJ and Migs. But thanks for calling in. You sound adorable and six.
Yeah, I want to know what song this is.
Let's play it.
Are who? Yeah, I mean, here we are. Here we are. Let's see. I don't know this song, but it's Kesha.
Oh yeah.
Oh, here's.
Frickin' Mario's.
Hot and dangerous. If you're one of us, then roll with us. Cause we make the hipsters fall in love when we got our hot pants on and up. And yes, of course we does. We run in this town.
What did you call
like
the wrong station?
Or did she?
Got Jesus on my necklace. Got that
necklace.
In my eyes. Stockings ripped all up the side. Looking sick and sexy.
Going hard.
Hard, just like the world is ours. We're tearing.
I don't think it's because I'm older.
Oh, here it comes.
I just don't understand this. If I was 14 years old, I'd think it was just crap. This is garbage. I mean, it's fun.
That's the thing.
But Barney was fun too when I was six.
It's got a beat that you could dance to.
Steve is just loving it.
Oh, yeah.
He's never been happier.
You've never been in a club, have you?
I've never been to the club.
See, that's your problem.
That always bothered me socially, because people be like, where are you going tonight? I'm going to the club. And it's C-L-U-H. Going to the club. And my immediate response to that is, which one? This is a city.
There's
There's about 80 of them.
That
We're going to the club.
You don't know which one.
Which one?
Because you're not in it, man. You don't
I'm
know.
I'm not in it. I don't get it. My stockings aren't ripped up the side.
There's your problem.
I know.
We've you guys just pinpointed it.
We're trying to play a song for our listener who requested this. Hard.
How'd you know that was coming?
Stars. Just down the lyrics.
Dumb.
Wyatt's mouth goes numb. Young, 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 young. Okay, I got it. Young, 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 young. What the hell?
I do like
well,
how
thanks for calling in, hon.
Yeah. I think you should play We Are Who We Are. Okay, bye.
Okay, there's a... If you listen, listen in the background, you know, you can hear another voice. And if you, upon like the second listen, I bet she called in at like 4 a.m. and she's hammered. Yeah. Listen again.
Okay. Because I was with you at first. I thought it was a kid, but you might be right.
I think that's a girl.
Hi. I think you should play We Are Who We Are. Okay. Bye.
I think she's hammered and it's 2 a.m. and she dialed the wrong number, bro.
How do you do that? How do you do the wrong number, though?
Dude, this morning we were getting texts about sports on our line, and then I realized someone they were texting 710 ESPN
really?
To comment on a topic they're having, but they texted our line. It just happens.
See, I mean, there's been
she
plenty.
She probably listens to us, but then also maybe she has like a. I don't know.
There,
you know,
there have been times, and there have been times that we've gotten text messages that were like, going to pick up some groceries. Do you need anything?
Love you, babe.
Yeah, and then I'll respond with, no, I'm good, thanks.
I'd like some microwave popcorn and a 2 liter of soda, please.
Yeah.
A liter of cola.
Bye.
A liter. I don't want a goddamn liter of cola. I don't want a large Pharma. I want a liter of cola. Do we have liter of cola?
And do we have Kesha? Can we play some Kesha? Oh my gosh, here's one more voicemail.
That's a fair bleeper.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what I called.
Are you hanging out with that girl too? Can you play some Kesha? We Are Who We Are.
A song written by a baby seal.
When you guys talk at the beginning of the song, it like kind of ruins that portion of the song.
Not wrong.
Wait a second. Is this like Get Drunk and Call the Migs?
No, I'm super irritated because you spoke over most of the Kesha song or whatever the hell. And it sort of ruined it for me, man.
Ruined it.
You know, shut up.
I mean, I don't see the reasoning behind that. You could just have the song and that would be good. I sound real nitpicky,
No.
I'm a fan. So keep it up, guys.
I'm a fan. You know what, though? I used to actually get legitimately mad when I would use the cassette recorder to tape songs on the radio.
Some DJ would.
And it was talking over the entire intro, man. For like I think it was The Offspring, because like one of the songs had just a super long intro, and it was like I was just talking all the way up to the post, which is really good if you're in the business.
But listeners don't care.
No
listeners. Like I like that station because the DJ talks up until the part where the guy starts singing. It's I never really got that.
You know what you should do? If only you knew like what that guy's jam was, right?
Oh,
so like, you've got Wherever I May Roam on. The whole intro plays as soon as James starts singing. You're like, hey, this is KSW 99 FM.
While you're doing it.
Rock of Seattle.
Yeah.
It's just like, by the way, I've had a rough morning here today. I stubbed my toe on my way into work. You know, like, just see if that guy's head explodes, man.
I'm coming
down there and I'm going to cut you.
I said I'm a fan. Why are you doing this to me?
Because you are.
That is awesome, though. I remember when I was a kid, I loved the song I Love L.A. Remember, I love L.A.
Yeah, we played that on the cast like a couple months back.
And as a kid, I had it recorded, and I had the DJ talking it up, so I memorized that part too. So that was like part of the song. So whenever I would play it, I'd be like, it's 75 degrees outside, and... Here's I Love L.A. God,
Rev, it's foreshadowing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's total foreshadowing, man. Who would have thought?
Right?
It's like the first time I held an infant underwater until it stopped kicking. Like, I didn't know that was going to be the rest of my life.
God.
Well, now we've gone too far.
I'm sorry. I love L.A.
There was
What do you mean it's weird that I have a collection of little shoes?
There's certain songs that I think like, you shouldn't absolutely like. There's like a Jimi Hendrix song where like half of the song is just an instrumental lead into the song, like Lil Wing or something.
Do you like beatbox over that? Or well, tell me more about what you do.
Right, like it's 46 degrees outside.
Yeah. DJ Steve Miggs over
That's
there.
Right, man.
Oh yeah,
not on air talent. DJ.
That's right. I'm not a DJ.
You're not
I'm an on-air
junkie?
Personality.
Well, would you make up your mind? You were a producer for a long time.
I stopped doing that.
And now what do you... So what
I'm
do you,
talent now. I'm just
Rev,
talent.
You work with him every morning. What is he specifically, really?
He's talented.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
I'm talent. Well, I'm a local celebrity. I don't know if you know this.
Yes!
You weren't there for that.
I feel awkward now. I feel like I misspoke. I also wonder if maybe we should edit out that thing about the kid underwater. Maybe just leave
it. Oh, yeah, because that's the worst thing you've ever said on this podcast, Glenn.
On this podcast.
Yeah.
You dined the guy out for driving on mushrooms.
Yeah, man. Okay. All right.
All right. Well, you got anything coming up there, Glenn?
Oh. Do I?
August 17th, you got Bruiser Brody.
August 17th, I get to jam with Bruiser Brody.
August 18th.
August 18th, Windowpane's tour kickoff show at Jazz Bones.
Oh.
And then, you know, we're going to be on the road in September. There's a lot of,
yep,
there's more.
We've hit our ceiling tour.
There's going to be more. It's become very, that's right, dude. That's right. It's called the bottom of the middle tour.
That's amazing.
So awesome.
Yeah, dude. Yeah,
we got that whole weekend planned for you, because then August 19th, head on over to the Marysville Skate Deck or whatever it's called, the skating, roller skating rink, because that's where I'm going to be having my second ever singles match.
Yeah, as a villain, right?
That's right. That's right. It is local celebrity Steve Miggs.
Yeah.
He's going to be taking on Chase James. I'm going to teach him like I taught him the last time we wrestled.
He's going to talk over his entire intro theme, too, when he comes out. I just know it.
That's right.
I just know he will.
I'm just going to pick up the microphone and just talk over my own intro.
And you'll look out the crowd, see all these smiling, cheering faces, and there'll be one guy that's just stone-faced. You'll be like, that's the guy.
That's the Facebook guy.
That's the guy.
I know that face.
Like, he's a fan. But he's no. I mean, that's the guy that can't stand. Yeah, the one person not having fun. But he's wearing, you know, the Team Miggs shirt. But you can just see his visible disdain.
You were my hero.
For the fact that you're talking.
Oh, man.
Just be quiet, man.
He's pointing at my head to hit the post, bitch.
Bitch. Wow.
Well, I mean, you're a bad guy. You got to say that.
That's true. And I mean, I do have my bad guy song, which is
the harsh language. You need it.
It's the Puddle of Mud song. The hell is it? Where is it? Let me see if I think I have it. Maybe I don't. Forget it. Oh, well.
Sorry. Now we're waiting for it.
Yeah. I'm just going to take my time.
Yeah.
Was he more on point when he brought his laptop?
No.
Or has it been about the same?
It's been about the same.
Because when he quit bringing the laptop, I just thought, he just doesn't care anymore.
No, it's like, I keep forgetting. I forgot again that today was Tuesday.
Just forget it's Tuesday.
Oh, God, you're not in a life blur, are you?
Yes, I am, actually.
Dude,
right
we need
now.
To stay away from each other, man.
Right?
If you get into my world,
it's like all of a sudden it's 3 weeks later.
Morning, everybody. This is Stephen Miggs. You're listening to
local celebrity Steve Miggs about to come out there and wrestle for you.
Oh, dude. Can I call you Losep?
Yes. So I'm famous. What do you think? Should that be my entrance music?
Isn't it already?
Well, it hasn't yet. It's going to be that'll be the big debut. Yeah.
Well, yeah. What do you think, Rev?
I mean, I'm trying to think of something that's like celebrity-based for the bad guy.
How about We're All Stars Now on the Dope Show? Because that's kind of dumb. Bump, bump, bump. Yeah, I think that might be, yeah.
I'll have to play with that one, maybe. That's a pretty cool one, too.
Just a thought. It's a little more grindy.
I like it.
Well, I'm not a stripper.
Why not?
Damn.
I might give someone a lap dance if I come out to this.
I know.
I need Red the Stripper to be my manager.
I know.
All right, let's get out of here.
We
don't have to.
Well, I got to pee, so.
I'd like to apologize for today's show.
I thought it was fantastic.
I think it was a great show.
It's fun. I blame that Facebook guy.
I blame the drugs.
I blame the crybaby sissy.
I thought you could just use his name.
Travis. Love you, buddy.
Travis is my hero.
Right?
That should be the name of this podcast.
There you go.
Well, remember HBT.
So
you guys couldn't see it, but I was talking about this new program that I'm on. I'm working at HBT. And seriously, man, I was looking at Steve, but his face was like, is this like transcendental meditation? What are you talking about?
Because I'm down to learn.
He was totally straight-faced, and I was like, yeah, hide behind Travis. Just watching Steve process that was genius.
Yeah.
That will be the name of today's episode, HBT.
You know what, HBT?
Yeah, you know me. All right, we really do appreciate you guys for listening.
Thank you. We love you.
Including the girl that wanted to hear Kesha.
Yeah, we did it.
I mean, that
we
was fine.
Your song.
We did. You know, who says that we don't listen into our people.
Sober up and buy a Doors record, honey. And just help me help you.
Buy a Doors record and stay positive.